Why don't you stand with me, please, this morning? Join me in this chorus.
We love you, Lord, and we lift our voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you
now let's make it personal. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Amen. You can be seated. This week has been a really exciting week for my wife Linda and myself. We've been reunited with a man who over 20 years ago discipled us and really kept us hanging in there with Jesus. He's now pastoring Voyager Church here in Irvine and has been attending the conference with us. And again, it was such an encouragement to me, and I hope it goes out as a challenge to you. When I first became a Christian, I went to three churches that invited me not to come back. But there was one man that wouldn't let me go. He wouldn't let me go. And I believe that I'm here today because that one man grabbed a hold of me and loved me and encouraged me and trained me in the ways of the Lord. Boy, let that be an encouragement to you. Grab those young people that God is bringing in. Pour your life into them. Who knows what God has in your church and how they'll affect. There he is right there. There's the guy. God bless you, Ray. Man, it's great to see you. Great to see you. Father, this morning we're so thankful for your word. We love you. I pray now as we talk about the heritage that we have at Calvary Chapel, the foundation that you've laid for us, it would stir us to remembrance and mix these things back into the fabric of our lives, that we might be all that you've called us to be for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Two times in his second epistle, Peter tells the saints that his desire is to stir them up by way of remembrance. He wants to take the things that the Holy Spirit has already invested in their lives and to stir those things up. In other words, Peter is not going to tell them anything new. He's not going to teach them a bunch of hot, new doctrines and principles. All he wanted to do was to take the good things that God had already placed in their lives and to stir them to remembrance on these things. All those ingredients that the Holy Spirit had placed in, the sound doctrine, the solid teaching that they'd heard from Jesus and the prophets. He wants to get those things back into the mix, into the fabric of their lives. You know, so often what we need to keep us on course, what we need to keep us going on in the calling that God has called us to, is not some hot new doctrine to teach. It's not a new method of ministry to try in our sheep. We just need to have all the good things that God has already poured into us, stirred up in our lives. And what I'd like to do this morning is to stir to remembrance some of those things that make us who we are as Calvary Chapel pastors and leaders. I want to remind us of those things that we have been invested and have been invested in us that make us what we are. And I'll tell you why this is important to me. When they asked me to do this devotional, and let me interject a little bit of pure Calvary Chapel here. See, they never really asked me to do this devotional. I found out I was doing this devotional. So I called them up and said, gee, what would you like me to teach my devotional on? They said, oh, Rick, anything that God lays on your heart, just share your heart with the people. Fine. When would you like me to share my heart with the people? Well, it'll probably be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning, the same devotional three times. Or it might be just Wednesday. Or it might be never at all. Then it turned out to be Thursday. But it was almost yesterday. As I was checking my child into nursery, over the outside speakers, I heard, and now, Rick will be coming up and doing, take my kid! No, God, please, not today! But see, that leads me to the first Calvary Chapel Beatitude. Do you know it? Do you know this one? Blessed are the flexible, yes, yes, for they shall not be broken. Oh, learn that. So as I was being flexible and thinking about sharing my heart, the Holy Spirit started to stir some things up in me that took me back to that foundation of who I was as a Calvary Chapel pastor. See, I believe there's been a real foundation laid in our lives. God has given Pastor Chuck principles for ministry that he has instilled in us. And people, those principles work. I know many of us are here today because those principles worked in ministries that reached us. And so I was thinking about these things. And the more I thought about them, the more fired up I got. And the more confident I got. And I was in need of a little confidence. I recently moved to Santa Barbara and pastoring the Calvary Chapel there. And it's been really good. God is doing some neat things. And yes, I was one of those guys that called up Don McClure. In fact, I actually went up to see him to give him encouragement. To build him up, I saw what he'd gotten himself into there. I saw that bright red carpet in that 6,000-seat auditorium. I heard of his debt load. I went back down to our board and I said, men, rejoice. We don't have a problem in the world. Oh, I came back so encouraged from that. But when you come in as the new guy, you always get the barrage of people that think that this is their big chance to change the direction of the church. And certainly you are the man that can catch my vision for what this church should be. I've heard more about what this ministry is doing and what that ministry is doing. I know what's happening in charismatic circles and non-charismatic circles. I can tell you about the new wave of worship, the third wave of ministry, the no waves in Santa Barbara. How did that get in there? And see, I know all about these things because very sincere people have come to me that think this is the direction that our church should go. And now's the time to go in this direction. And beyond that, There's always the temptation of being lured by the successful. Do you know what I mean by that? You hear that so-and-so is doing this, and the people are pouring in. You hear that this is the style of ministry for the 90s. And you start to wonder, am I missing something that God is doing? And then you get this stone in your face. Oh, we don't come to your church anymore because you quenched the Spirit. Over at Brand X, we have prophets, healers, deliverers. Oh, the Holy Spirit is so free to move. Sometimes we just worship the whole time and never even open the Word because we've got the Rhema at Brand X. You see, it's easy with all this going around to lose our vision of ministry. And we start to grasp at straws. Especially if the ministry that we're involved in is not as successful as those that are doing all of these things. So for me, it was good just to go back and to be reminded of who I am and what God has called me to do. And to the philosophy of ministry that I so believe in. And that's exactly what we have. We have a philosophy of ministry. God has given us principles that form the foundation of our ministries that we've been able to build upon. And here they are. Here they are. First, we believe that the purpose of the church is to build up the flock of God. To encourage, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And the way to do that is with consistent verse by verse Bible teaching. Greg Laurie told me that one of the things that Chuck drilled into him as a young man was that our job was to teach the Bible upon Bible upon Bible upon Bible. If there's anything that sets Calvary Chapel apart from the rest of the field, this is it. And it's not just our emphasis upon the Bible, but the way that we teach it. I remember the first time that I heard Chuck Smith teach from the Bible. I was going over to SCC, the Assembly of God College across the highway here. And that was the only preaching that I had really heard. That was where I was used to. And I came in here, and it was a tent in those days, and I couldn't believe my eyes. He was just teaching from the Word of God. He wasn't ranting and raving. He wasn't running back and forth across the stage and up the aisles. He didn't even have a hanky. And for the first time ever in my life as a young Christian, I heard the Word of God. I learned from the Word of God. I walked from here that night taking something of the Word of God with me. And I was so stoked. I went back over to that college. In the space of 2 weeks, we had half the college coming here. They invited me not to come back to SCC that next semester. That the Bible could actually be taught was a whole new revelation to me. And it still is a revelation to so many people that walk in the doors of our church that they can know the Bible and understand the Bible and learn the Bible. The whole concept of being able to have a conversation with our people on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights that's centered around the Bible. How good that is. And this is one of the keys to our teaching. The relaxed, conversational style. We don't have to rant and rave because we have something more. Content. You see, our goal is to communicate the principles of the Word of God to our people. To communicate the truth of God to hide the Word of God in their hearts. And this doesn't stuff our personalities. Not at all. In fact, I think it lets our true personalities come out, as opposed to our anointed personalities. You see, that puts the Word of God into a context that people can relate to, that people can understand. Now, we do have to be a little bit careful here because there are extremes that we can go to. The first extreme is for us to be too booky. You see, that's when you've studied so much. You've got so much out. And what you teach is so far above the heads of the people there, they don't understand a word you're talking about. They appreciate the scholarship, but it just goes woof over their heads. What they do understand, they can't apply. The opposite extreme is what I call the Calvary Chapel ramble. Oh, it's down to earth. Boy, is it accessible. Lots of stories about you, your dog, your child, your wife, your last surfing adventure. But there's no content there. You see, Calvary Chapel teaching at its best takes those two things and it marries them together. Great scholarship, great biblical truth, but put into a package that people can grab a hold of. So good. So good. The other thing that makes our teaching unique is the way that we relate the Bible to what is happening in our world. We answer the questions that people are asking. We're talking about the things that are important to them, and they know that we are in the same world that they are in. So crucial. Think about Greg Laurie's teaching on Monday night. He used a quote from Kevin Costner. He talked about the Big Bang Theory. He quoted another rock star. He even sang the hook from a Beatles tune. And people applauded. Why? Because they knew he was coming from the same world they came from. He wasn't coming from some woo-woo spiritual place out here. He lived in the world. He was answering the questions with Scripture that they were asking. I was listening to Mike McIntosh 2 days ago. I was counting the times that he used cultural references. And yes, Ed Smith, I was critiquing him. I was tearing him apart. With my heart open to what God was saying. But I stopped counting after 10 cultural references. You see, he was relating the Bible to their world. And I'll give you a little homework here. Take 1 week. Collect every show title, every show theme from Donahue, Geraldo, Sally, Raphael, Oprah Winfrey, Larry King. And see if you're talking about the same things that they're talking about. You see, they've got their finger on the pulse of the world. They know the questions people are asking. I know about half the stuff they talk about is absolutely off the wall. You'd never want to talk about that. But the other half of the stuff they're talking about is right on. And you know who has the answers? You do. Right from the Word of God. The challenge for us is to be up on what's happening in our world. And that takes work. It takes effort. Read good periodicals. I just found a new one I'd like to recommend to you. It's called New Dimensions. It comes out once a month. They just did an issue on the pop culture of our world that's going to give you a sermon material for a year. I just saw it in a bookstore at South Coast, so I know you can get it. Read the newspapers. Understand the music of the day. Listen to it. Know what's going on in our world. Don't be culturally out of it. Let me bring up one more thought about our approach to the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the account of what God has done for us, not what we can do for God. The account of the Bible is the story of grace from cover to cover. It's what God has done for us. And this, of course, is the beauty of going verse by verse through the Bible. You can't miss this. As you teach the Bible day in and day out, this is the story that's going to emerge. And I'll tell you, as your people here, what God has done for them. As they start to understand who God is, Katie, bar the doors. Watch out. You see, this is what's going to motivate them to love God and to know God and to serve God. But it's so easy to get this turned around. We start thinking our people and telling them they have to be the initiator if God's going to be the responder. We tell them, you have to pray, you have to worship, you've got to tithe, you've got to read the Bible if you want God to bless you. And if you don't do these things, then God is mad at you. You see, that's the TBN line. That's not our line. Ours is just the opposite of that. Just the opposite. And if the sheep aren't responding in your fellowship as you think they should be responding, hey, don't beat them. Don't crack the whip over them. Check out your emphasis. You might have it backwards. Our emphasis is on grace. Our emphasis is teaching what God has done for them and letting our people respond to that. Beautiful concept. See, Chuck has always told us that there are three ways to build a church. You'll build it through programs, and there are some programs out there right now that they're working. They're really working. See, this is kind of the Bill Hybel type of approach. But know this, if you start out this way, you have to stay this way. And you'll always be looking for the newest program, the newest Christian speakers, the newest hot music group to keep this program going. The second way to build a church is through signs and wonders. But again, you better keep them coming. And they better become more and more spectacular each and every week. Now you see, both of these ways, well, they will build a church. People will flood in. But the burnout is fast. The third way that you can build the church is to teach the Word of God. To build up the body of Christ with a solid, consistent teaching of the Word. Now the growth will not be as fast, but the fruit will remain. That's the Calvary Chapel way. The second principle of Calvary Chapel ministry is tried and true worship. Worship in Calvary Chapel is as important as anything that we do. It's not just a prelude to teaching. It's not just something that warms the people up for you. No. It's a unique time when our people can actually stand before the throne of God and be with God face to face. And God will do things in their lives at that time that He will not do any other time. And I believe the format that we have for worship is such an asset to people's lives. The beauty of Calvary Chapel worship is the balance of our worship. It's not finger cymbals and streamers and tongues-a-thon. But it's also not dead hymn singing. It should be right in between that beautiful balance of alive and vibrant and free worship, a worship that appeals to a broad bandwidth of people. And again, I think there's room for the personality of your church in this. See, I love to worship. I like get down kind of worship. I do. So my church may be a little more charismatic than your church. That's okay. But see, we even do that with kind of your traditional instruments. And I say Calvary Chapel traditional instruments. Because see, then you look at like the worship group from Harvest that was here on Monday night. I mean, these guys are electric. And they're great. Praise God. Even the choice of songs that we do, it may be different. I mean, your church might be on the cutting edge of every new worship song that comes out. Or, hey, you may still be on Praise 1 and Praise 2. It's good. It's good. The beauty of it is that our worship is going to be alive and fresh. It's designed to bring people face to face with God. Now, what our worship should never be is contrived or manipulated. It should never be that pump 'em up type of thing. You know, we should never have to talk our people into raising their hands or giving God a clap offering or going into some kind of a tongues-a-thon type of deal. That's just not us. Our worship should make people come in and fall on their face and say, surely, God is in the midst of these people. And what that means is that people will come in, they'll see the beauty of people that are in God's presence. And it should make the non-believer just a little nervous. Now, not freak them out, not blow them out of the water. But it should make them just a little uncomfortable. You see, if the non-believer is not a little uncomfortable in your worship service, you might need to crank it up a tad. Because it shouldn't be a concert. It shouldn't be entertainment. It should be worship in God's presence. That leads us to the next principle of Calvary Chapel philosophy of ministry, and that is the role of the Holy Spirit. I think if there is one scripture that is the life verse of this movement, it's Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We need complete dependence on the Holy Spirit. Oh, we've got to have that. We count on the Holy Spirit moving through His Word and speaking through His Word. We count on the Holy Spirit moving in our time of worship. We believe the Holy Spirit has gifted each and every member of our church to serve and to minister in the body of Christ, and we count on the Holy Spirit moving in that. And basically, we believe no Spirit, no church. But we also believe that the Spirit is always going to move in accordance with the Word. Period. Anything that happens outside of that, regardless of who says what about it, is off the wall. The Word is the final authority. Now you may be thinking, oh, they're right. They're right. The Calvary Chapel Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. No way. No way. We just believe that the best way to invite the Holy Spirit in is to let Him move in accord with the Word that He has written. And don't ever forget that. As you have this conversation about the Holy Spirit moving in relationship with the Word, remember it was the Holy Spirit that wrote those scriptures about how He will move. He knows what He's talking about. So don't you be intimidated by people that say that Calvary Chapel does not have the Holy Spirit because we don't have prophets, we don't read auras, we don't have people slain in the Spirit all over the place. Don't you be intimidated by that. God's Spirit is alive and working in our churches. On the other hand, don't let the pendulum swing too far in the other direction either. You see, we need all of the Holy Spirit we can get. And sometimes we're so careful not to let any weirdness in that we quench the Spirit. What we need is that relaxed openness to the Holy Spirit that has always been the trademark of the Calvary Chapel movement. The next principle that is foundational in our ministry is a burden for the lost. The heritage of Calvary Chapel is that it has always been a place where people get saved. In Santa Barbara, it seems like every other person I met found Christ at Calvary Chapel. In our church on Maui, the people there had a feeling, and they still do, that if they can just get a person to church, that person is going to get saved. And they feel that way because they know the gospel is always presented. They know there's an atmosphere where people can come in and feel comfortable and hear the gospel. I mean, look what's happening here on Monday night. That marvels me. Think what's happening with Greg this last week in Sacramento. What's going to happen in San Diego and here with the summer harvest. God is going to save souls. I was just with Mike McIntosh down in Mazatlan in Juan Domingo. We did the Festival of Life down there. We saw God double the Christian population of Mazatlan. More than double it. See, God has anointed this movement to save souls. But don't you ever forget where that came from. You see, all that goes back to days when Chuck and Kay used to go out to Huntington Beach Pier and sit there and beg God for the souls of those young people. And plead for their souls. And say, God, show us how to reach them. See, we're building upon that foundation right now. And we are called to carry that same burden forward. And not just to carry it, but to instill it in the hearts of others. You know, I'll never forget the night I stood on the street in Bangkok with Mike McIntosh. Way after midnight. The streets were alive with people. More people than I'd ever seen in one place at one time in my entire life. And Mike just made me stand there and watch them. He said, look in their faces, look in their faces. And I did. And after a while, he said, every person you've just seen is going to hell. What are you going to do about it? See, I've never looked at people the same way since then. Every time I walk into a supermarket or a shopping center, I say, these are our people. We can reach these people. And that's the vision I want to put in the heart of my people. A heritage to reach the lost. God has given us a ministry that does not fish in a small pond. He's given us a ministry that fishes in an ocean of people. And so pastors, leaders, go get them. Go get them. We've got to go for it. Burden for the lost. The last principle I want to talk about this morning is that God has called us to be shepherds. We're not hirelings, but shepherds. Chuck's vision is that our churches be filled with the best fed and the best loved people. See, don't ever think that just feeding the sheep is enough. It's not. More than that, they need to be loved. And they need a place where they can express their love. And you as the pastors, you as the leader, you have to be the example for that. Don't be like the porcupine that John Corson talked about. That has all the fine points, but that no one can get close to. No, you be a shepherd that loves his sheep. Now some of you might be thinking, well, you know, loving the sheep, I just have a hard time with that. God hasn't really called me that. I'm too busy anyway to do that with all the people I have. And so I've hired the best staff that's going to extend that love to all the sheep that we have. But you know what that's like saying? That's like a father saying, you know, I don't have time to love my kids. But I'm going to hire the best nanny I can get to give them all the love that they need. Is that going to cut it for those kids? No way. No way. God has called you to love those sheep and to care for the sheep that He's given you. Josh told me one time about how he'd gone to his Sunday night service and they meet a half an hour early for prayer. And when he got there, there was not too many people there. That's by his standard. Now, by our standard, we'd be jumped up and down. But by his standard, not too many. And so he changed the order of service, and he just started to preach right away to kind of teach those who came in late a lesson. And he was really laying it on them. Boy, he was just blistering the sheep for not being there. And as he was driving home, he was still kind of mad, kind of complained to God about the sheep that God had given him. And God said, Mike, it is only by my grace and mercy that anyone comes to your church. And Mike, the sheep I've called to your church, I brought them there for you to love and for you to care for. Mike had to pull over because of the tears and repent. See, they're not our sheep. Chuck's always told us that. They're his sheep. And he's appointed you as a shepherd over those sheep. And to his shepherds this morning, Jesus is saying, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then you care for my little lambs. Do you love me? Then you tend those sheep I've given you. Oh, people, what a great heritage we have. What a foundation that has been laid in our lives. Oh, Holy Spirit, stir those things up in us this morning that we might be all that we can be. Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Chuck. I thank you for the men that you've brought around him. I thank you for what you've shown him that he's instilled in our lives. God, this morning, stir those things up in us. Oh, God, let us have a love for your word, be able to teach your word. God, challenge us to grow in the art of communicating your word. And God, bless the worship in our church. Oh, God, keep us on track there. And Holy Spirit, how we need you in our church. Oh, God, by your Spirit, just be powerful and alive and real. And Lord, give us that burden for souls. Oh, Jesus, what a heritage this church has, this movement has, for the winning of souls. But Jesus, I guess it's all summed up when we ask you to make us shepherds. Make us shepherds. And Jesus, this morning, we say, we do love you. We do love you. And Lord, to the best of our ability, by the power of your Spirit, we will feed your sheep. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of side two and the end of this message. For further information on tapes or a free catalog, contact Chapel Tapes at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.